assurance of salvation. Your memory verse is 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. I should say. Yeah. And the application of that is, if you're truly saved, it should not be something that you doubt or that you're hoping for. The Bible makes it very plain that it's a no-so salvation. Okay, if you open to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 11 and 12, and it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." God wants us to know. Religion causes you to wonder, because religion always brings an element of works in it. Okay, see, and a Christian, that's not a religion. That is a follower of Christ. It's built off of a relationship that you need to have. Okay, on street corner yesterday, we're preaching, and I was quoting these verses directly and explaining. It says, religion can't save you. Good works can't save you. A good attitude can't save you. Your church can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Okay, so it's, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And if you're in Sunday school class, you probably all know that. But if you don't, believe on Jesus Christ. You can't get away from that. We can know for sure we have eternal life. We can know, and it's a blessing to know that that relationship is secure in the acceptance of God's love towards us. Amen. You can't get away from it. It's not based on, because the Bible tells us in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. Okay? So it's written there to let us know that. And the practical application of the lesson, as we're going to see as we go through that, is one, the believer should have assurance of salvation. I've dealt with people before that made professions as children or as teenagers, and then when they hear a message, I can believe, I don't think she'll be upset, but if you ask Mary Thomas, she doubted after her first profession. Okay, and she made it right. She got her assurance, because what would happen is she made a profession of faith in Christ, but then any time hell was preached on, she was afraid. Until she finally had that assurance. Okay, we're going to see verses this morning. You're going to see that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? And you got to remember, this is 1 John, there's 2 John, 3 John. John wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll get to the lesson, that we are to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Okay? You should have that assurance. Examine yourself. If you don't have that, make it sure. And you it's just plain as simple as that. If they compare, the Bible compares our salvation to a marriage relationship. Either you're married or you're not. You were born physically or you weren't. So you're born spiritually or you're not. And so I want you, the first thing we're going to look at is believing. 1 John 5 and verse 12, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. See, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ, which is born of God. Only one thing can bring salvation. If you have lost loved ones, you have friends you work with, you have neighbors, it's okay to talk about your testimony when you accepted Christ. It's good that you treat them right, but they need Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no escaping that. Only one thing can bring salvation, and that's believing in or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person must believe what God tells them to believe. As I'm standing on one corner and preaching, and Ed Church is on the same corner with me, he's going to preach, and Howard's there handing out the tracts when I wasn't preaching. Okay, I would hand out tracts, but as I'm preaching, we had a guy on the other corner, and he had on a Palestinian the headscarf around his collar, and he's waving a flag, and he's trying to drown me out with a Bluetooth speaker playing some music off the thing, and he's trying to promote free Palestine, and he was against the Jews. His speaker wasn't as loud as my speaker. And it was such that a couple came out of one of the restaurants, they were a young couple, and they walked down and they went to ask him something. And then the guy turned around, he left his girlfriend or his wife, whatever, on the side of the street up against that Southern Fair restaurant, looks at the guy with the Palestinian flag, walks across the street and says, I want to thank you for being here and practicing the rights you have as American citizens. And Howard started witnessing to him. Okay, he didn't say he believed. Howard went through the plan of salvation, talked to him about some other things. But he says, I'm glad you people are here. He says, as a child, I had a bad case of cancer. But I knew people were praying for me, and I'm here today because people were praying for me. You know what he really needs? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Okay? The moment you believe in Jesus, you're believing in his death, his burial, his resurrection, you're saved. All those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The name Christ means the anointed one or Messiah. Being born of God means you've taken on a new nature. Just as you were born physically, you're born spiritually. And your physical characteristics when you were born come from your father and your mother. Amen? When you're born spiritually, you're truly born again, you should start having some of the characteristics of your heavenly Father. There's a difference, and people ought to see a difference. When people are religious, well, that's your religion, I have mine. But they ought to be able to see in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things, or old things, therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, present tense, become, imperative, are become new. It's an ongoing process. Okay, is you're putting off the old man and putting on the new man. But there has to be that moment of birth. And that's the spiritual birth, and the change starts taking place. And you can't get away from that. Being saved comes from believing. All other actions are a result of salvation. We don't work to get saved. We work because we are saved. Because you have done what God told you to do. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. People will say, well, that's your interpretation. No, what does it say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 4:11. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we, what? Must be saved. I don't care what church you belong to. If you don't belong to Jesus Christ, that church does you no good. So this morning, it's about the assurance of salvation. You can know that you have eternal life. That's what our memory verse was about this week. And you can have God's word on it because, unlike us, if you tell me you've never told a lie, you just told another one. All right? Because the Bible says all men are liars. You say, well, I've never told a lie. Yes, you have. You've either told a lie by commission or a lie by omission. But you've lied. Matter of fact, you know what Christians still do? They lie. You won't get through this day without telling some sort of lie today. You say, I don't believe that. Honestly, I'm trying to be nice. I care what God says about it, not what you say about it. So if you told a lie, it says, if a man keepeth the whole law and offend in one point, he is what? Guilty of it all? If your salvation was based upon what you do after you got saved, you'd lose it. You'd lose it. I'd lose it. I look at, there's verses in the Bible that God hits me every time I go through them. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, be angry and sin not. Lord, please forgive me again. You know what the Bible says? He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Okay, you don't know where that is? Ask Pastor, no, I'll tell you what. Ask Michael Shelton. He's sitting up here, we'll do that. Okay? Once you're saved, believing in Jesus Christ, all other actions are a result of that salvation and not the cause. Okay? The love we show God, the obedience we show God, is in accordance with the love He first showed us. Been to India 5 times. Those people are afraid of the gods they worship. They still sacrifice babies in the Ganges River to the river god. We went to one pagan shrine. I think Steve Ford was with us. And you went through there, and one of the things they would do, remember that, Steve, they'd shave the heads? You'd come in, and one of the things you sacrifice is all your hair. My God hasn't required it. My age has. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure, because in Titus chapter 1, verse 12, it says, let me see here. Have I got the right place? Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. I'll read verses 1 and 2. Paul, the servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, in acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Our God cannot lie. If he lies, he is not God. If he is not God, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He who dies with the most toys wins. I'm ahead of you in toys. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, God can't lie. That's why he can't have sin in his presence. He's holy and righteous and just and pure and perfect in all his ways. And I am none of those. But in Christ, I have Christ's righteousness. So God made a way that I could come to be with him. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, you can believe. Amen? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see if I get there. I ask on the corner, like when I'm preaching, I'll say, if you were to die today, do you know if heaven would be your home? The Bible says you can know. Because in 1 John 5, it says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's my body, your body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, what? Eternal in the heavens. Look at verse 8. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be what? Absent from the body and present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul, writing this to the Corinthian church, which was the most carnal church of all the ones he started, and he's telling them that they can be confident, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Know that you're going to heaven after you die. When you're ready to die, then you're truly ready then to live. So you have the first part is believing. The second part is loving. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I like to tell people if they read the Gospel of John and the book of Romans, they can learn about salvation and the offer of salvation. If you read 1 John, you'll learn about the assurance of that salvation. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 14. It says, we hope that we have passed from death to life. We might pass from death to life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One of the results of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior is going to be love of the brethren. How many people can you love and at times not like? 51 years of marriage. I'll ask Judy, because I'm not an easy person to love, but she loves me. But you know what she'll tell me at sometimes? Yes, I love you, but I don't like you very much today. Right? A threefold cord is not soon broken. Jesus, Judy, and I have never agreed that we were going to come apart. Amen? One of the earmarks that takes place after salvation is the love of the brethren. That doesn't just mean independent Bible-believing Baptist. It means all those who've trusted Christ as their Savior. Your pastor and I are not brighters. We don't believe that you're not saved if you're not a Baptist. There are Baptists who try to teach that. And I say, get in line with what the book says. Amen? Don't pull the verses out of context. It says, we know for we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's a natural, loving other believers is a natural outflow of Jesus being in you. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, And everyone that loveth him that begat, the Father, loveth also him that is begotten. Jesus was the first begotten, the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to some members at one of the churches, I can't remember the epistle it comes out of, and he says, I have begotten you unto Christ by the gospel. Through the gospel. Okay, so you got to love them. I like it. You know, you go someplace and I go to hand out tracts and they go, are you a believer? I'm a believer. There's an immediate spirit-bearing witness with spirit if you're willing to look for it. Go to John chapter 13. You're going to find Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 13, let me see here. And the people answered, and we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in that light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now jump over to verse 46. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth in me shall... I'm reading chapter 12, not 13. I'm saying, why isn't this fitting right? Oh. First mistake this morning is getting out of bed. Okay. 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye what? Love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall I know? Will Jesus know by that? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Old Testament tells us, Samuel, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. The earmarks of a saved person is unfeigned, not fake, okay? Unfeigned love of the brethren. So you have believing, and then there should be loving. We need to realize that Jesus is in every believer. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It ought to motivate us to have fervent love one for another. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made openly known in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying what? The truth through the Spirit unto what? Unfeigned love one of another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. When you love other believers, you're actually loving Christ. You're loving Christ. through that love to the believers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity is a unique word to the King James Bible. It's not found in the Old Testament. It's only found in the New Testament. This whole chapter is explaining the difference between God's love flowing through you and man's love. 1 Corinthians 13. Because when you love somebody, and it's not that type of love, well, I'm going to love you if you love me, and if you stop loving me, I'm going to stop loving you. That's not how God loves. That's not how the Savior loves. 1 Corinthians 13, because charity is God's love flowing through the believer. Charity suffereth long and fights. Gets upset. Withdraws. Refuses to talk to. Won't forgive. No. Charity suffereth long and is. That's not natural, is it? It's not natural. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. That's not natural. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's not natural. World says you can't love someone else if you don't love yourself first. The truth of God's word is if you love yourself first, you can never love them as Christ would have you love them, because you're going to put yourself first and can be concerned how they treat you and how they love you. Because love is not an emotion. Love is a choice of the will that has actions. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Me, 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 me. Go to India. Don Ford and I walking around because I get frustrated. Steve and Judy just are relaxed, not in a rush, don't have a problem in the airports. I'm a nervous wreck in the airports. All the way through, Judy's handing out Nutricoms like candy to Don and I. And Don's looking at me, I'm looking at her, and we're going, it's not about me. We're here for Jesus. It's not about me. We're here for Jesus. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh what? That means you always give that person the benefit of a what? Don't go to the worst case scenario if you hear something. Go to the best case until it's proven what it is. Okay? Thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. What? Endureth all things. That's the love that needs to flow through us if we're saved. So we've got believing, we've got loving. Go back to 1 John. The commandment he gave us, the new commandment, is that we love one another, right? Look at verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. And hereby what? We do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I am not sinless. I am forgiven. You're not sinless. You're forgiven. You'll struggle trying to keep the commandments. You have to choose to follow him. A lost person can't even do that. They can't maintain it. He will keep us. 1 John chapter 1. We like to look at this passage in verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." It's a very nice Bible study or a message preparation, just studying light in the Bible. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son." What? That's written to a believer, not to a lost person. "If we say we have no sin, we," what? "Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Sometimes we don't like the cleansing process, but it's going to take place. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a, and his word is not in us." So be very careful how you look at people just because you're not doing the sin they're doing. Mm-hmm. A street corner. "God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ." Every word you speak after salvation, every thought that you think, every action of your hands and feet, every place you go, everything you do, when it's sin, you give it to him, he takes it away. When you don't give it to him, you get the judgment seat of Christ. It's wood, hay, and stubble, your work, because you didn't keep your heart right with him, and you lose some of your eternal rewards. You can't get unborn again. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose those rewards. The attitude of not wanting to sin and keeping his commandments is evidence of someone who knows God. You ever get to the place when you first got saved, you were doing something and God says, "Not anymore." And you go, "Oh Lord, I won't do it." But you haven't replaced it in your mind yet with the Word of God. And you find yourself under pressure doing the same wrong thing. Now it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. But your heart attitude ought to be one of, "Lord, I hate that. I don't want to do that anymore. I can't do this in my own strength. Lord, help me. Work in me. Because he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until" what? I'm a work in progress. I don't know about you. Some of you say, "Yeah, well, your progress stopped." No. Okay. I'm telling you, he's doing a work in you. Don't let someone else get you to question your salvation. You let the Holy Spirit speak to you about it. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, that chastening is one of the signs that God loves you. Amen? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You can't get away from it. 1 John chapter 2. See, we ought to have an attitude of not wanting to sin. We want to please the one who loves us. We love him. We make a choice to love him. When you love somebody, you put their wants ahead of your wants. You put their needs ahead of your needs. Isn't that what Christ did for us? And we love him because he first loved us? Don't you want to please the person you say you love? You you fight against that temptation and sin. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to never be tempted again. No, that you be able to bear it. I'm sorry. I want you to know this. I'm double-minded. The only people who can be double-minded are believers. People who are lost, they think like the world. They can have religion, but they think like the world. They think they got to earn it. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. See, I'm double-minded. I'm either going to feed my flesh or I'm going to submit to God. I've mentioned it before, past one of the lessons. Demas was in the closing signatures in some of the epistles. Towards the end of Paul's life, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. When Jesus is talking to the churches, what church is it? One of the churches. He says, one thing I have against thee is that thou hast left thy first love. First John chapter 2. Verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye, and if any man sin, we have an advocate, we have a lawyer, we have a go-between, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That kind of gets done, wipes out TULIP, unconditional election. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, is in him verily is the love of God. Hereby we know that we are in him. You keep his word. You abide the word. Pastor Christian used to say, you're either going to be in sin or you're going to be in the book. But you won't be in both for very long. Because the Word of God will keep you from the sin. Or your sin in this world's temptations will keep you from the Word of God. People stop coming to church, they stop reading their Bible and praying long before that. Just the way it works. You need to abide in his word. Someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ will try to stay away from the things that displease him. Keeping his commandments, again, that has nothing to do with you getting saved. But it is a sign that you have a relationship, a love relationship with the one who loved you. Because in a marriage, you're to please the other. Amen? 1 John 3, verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby what? We know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. I got highlighted in my Bible through 1 John. I put parentheses around it and underline it where it says, we know. Because that verse at the end of that chapter, okay, is below. It says, by we know. But above that, it says, my little children, verse 18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, not just in what you say, but in your actions. Indeed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. See, we know by our actions. Other people will know our love of Christ by our actions. For if our heart condemn us, when you're not doing right, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And when you have confidence towards God, it says, in whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do what? Keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Jesus was confronted. He was asked, what is the first and great commandment? And He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy... That's a person in close proximity to you. In a marriage, it's the closest person to you is your spouse. Next, it's your children. Next, it's your extended family that's near you. But if your extended family is not near you and you have a neighbor that's near, they're your neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then Jesus said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. The Holy Spirit will work in you, in a believer, to desire a life that obeys God. We can take our eyes off God, go a certain way for a time, but you're just never comfortable there. A believer who's not spending time reading God's Word and not trying to please God, is just going through the motions, doesn't want to cause any rift or any problems with the world, so they go through the world and the world doesn't know that they're saved. They feel uncomfortable around Christians, but they don't really fit in with the world anymore. They don't feel like they belong. God makes it very easy. Confess it, give it to Him. Don't say you haven't done something wrong. Give it to Him, because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you believe, you love, there's the keeping. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 24 again. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. There's a filling involved. The ongoing process of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Turn to Ephesians. We're going to come back to 1 John, so hang on there. Ephesians chapter 1. You still with me? Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, that's us, unto the praise of His glory. Do you see that? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. This is in the passage that's talking about putting off and putting on. Okay? Verse 24, and that you put on the new man which is after God, created in righteous true holiness, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give written to believers. A believer can give place to the devil? Yes. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the building up. See, the edifying, that it may minister what? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. That's twice it tells us that we're sealed. Let something be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Go back to John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. Jesus stood up on the feast day in verse 37, crying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the what? Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." They couldn't receive him because he had not been crucified, had not been buried, had not risen again yet. On him that he should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit seals us into the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit dwells, lives within the believer. You ever watch a baby's born, they're used to hearing the mother's heartbeat? They get all cranked up, and the husband will try to hold them. "You'll try to, I've tried this, you know." And you give the baby to the mother, and she just cradles him on her bosom, and the baby hears the heartbeat, and they calm down. While in the womb, they listen to the mother's voice. So they respond to the mother's voice. Is the child better than they do to the father's voice? That's why it's tantamount that the father should spend time with the baby and with the children so that they'll get used to hearing his voice. When Derek was born, he was a frightened little child in so many ways. We were there, he was born, he gets brought home, and they go, and Carla said, "Dad, hold him." And I wanted to hold him. And he was calm in her arms. And then he came into my arms. And he was no longer calm. Derek's a pretty quiet guy, but he wasn't quiet then. Because he didn't know my voice. Isn't it interesting? As they get a little bit older, they get independent, they stop listening to the voice of the mother. So the father has to step in, make sure they hear his voice, so they'll listen to the voice of the mother again. Don't you ever notice things like that? People will say, "You say that the Holy Spirit led you or God's talked to you through this book." The more time you spend listening for Him, the more easy it is to hear Him. You with me in that? You know when there's a problem in a marriage is when you stop listening to each other. You got to be able to hear each other's voices. Not trying to say who's going to win the argument, but are you listening? God's not going to argue with you. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and if any man hear my and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me." Look at Romans chapter 8. I've got to finish here quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with what? That we are the children of God. See, because we're told in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a filling that is involved. The Holy Spirit talks, shares, leads, guides, disciplines, convicts, and convinces the child of God. Are you listening? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy Spirit has made every believer his home. It tells you, know ye not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have, which is in you? 1 Corinthians? Which you have, which is in you? The believer can never lose his salvation due to wrong living or not growing. He can, however, miss out on the close fellowship with the Lord in knowing certain truths. 1 Peter chapter 5. Come on, Brant. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that's multiple temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, in whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the ability to hear the Spirit of God in your life. Another verse says, and quench not the Spirit. Last verse this morning. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where you'll find your assurance of salvation. And all God's people said, take a break.